up late again, watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, 'cause I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this, what's left of this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Time permitting, we will respond to your text. Joining us now, he represents the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama. Been a regular on the show for a while. Always a joy getting him on. But Congressman Gary Palmer is with us. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good. A little frustrated that we're not getting some things moved on the floor, but we'll work it out.
Well, before we get into that, tell me something. Braves, have they broken the curse of June, you think?
You know, I know people think I'm a total nerd and all I think about is policy, but I've been looking at potential trades because I don't know what's happened to their bats, and I knew their pitching wasn't going to hold up. But I'm hoping they're going to make some trades. They've got some really good prospects, but I mean, to start like they did and then to fall off a cliff, but it seems like they always have a June swoon.
Yeah, well, and something about that, I mean, we may not have baseball next year. I think you got a shot at making a run. You got to do it now. And, yeah. You know, as much as I like some of these guys in the farm system or Fuentes or J.R. Richie, I think for this year I might be willing to part for just not knowing what the future looks like.
Well, they need another really good starter, and they need a shortstop and another outfielder. So you need to work on that.
The Ha-Seong Kim experiment is been woefully underwhelming, and I can't believe he's still on today on the roster. So we'll see what
batting
happens.
Under 100.
Yeah, 068.
Yeah, you probably couldn't give him away.
No, and he just, I think they rushed him back. He didn't have a spring training, and he just never, and they tried to force it, but it never really quite took off. I don't know why Mateo isn't starting every day, or at least Dubon or something in that spot, but anyway, we won't go too much further into sports ball for our listeners. Hey, the Save America Act seems like that's what is kind of caused the halt here. And trying to get it attached to some things, but the Senate, is there any path other than ending the filibuster to get this done in the Senate, you think?
Yeah. I've laid it out for the White House, and I think, and I've laid it out for Mike Johnson. Mike's actually mentioned this in an interview he did, but the way to do it is to take out the extraneous stuff in the bill that doesn't really have anything to do with honest elections. And what we would do is say that the federal government will pay the states to issue the photo IDs. We will pay them to issue the birth certificates, and we will pay them to clean up their voter files. That way it can be done through reconciliation. And I'm going to revert back to the nerd part of my personality. And what that means is that in order to do reconciliation, the Senate legislation cannot have an incidental impact on the budget. In other words, it's got to impact the budget. And the only way to make that the SAVE Act reconcilable is to have the federal government pay for the states implementing it. And the way we can do that is Katie Britt and I. By the way, I'm an original co-sponsor of the SAVE Act, but Katie Britt and I introduced a bill called the Citizen Ballot Protection Act that hasn't been brought up in committee, in the House Committee on Administration. If they were to bring that bill up, Jeff, to mark it up, they could do something called an amendment in the nature of a substitute and substitute a bare-bones SAVE Act with the photo ID, proof of citizenship, and cleaning up voter files in the bill, and it can be done through reconciliation. And so I think at the end of the day, that may be what we wind up doing. We added the SAVE Act to the National Defense Appropriations, which we thought the folks that like Anna Paulina Luna would agree with. And last minute, they decided that wasn't enough. Now, I really don't understand why. So,
well, they're
trying to figure out a way to do it.
They're very organized on this. And I guess this is just sort of the nature of having such small margins in your majority.
Well, I think this is counterproductive for us because it's a gift to Chuck Schumer that we're not passing the kind of legislation that we need to pass and forcing it over to the Senate, especially doing it through reconciliation, because you can pass those with a simple majority. And it forces the Democrats to vote. Right now, they don't have to do anything except go out and tell the American public that the Republicans aren't doing anything.
Joined by Gary Palmer. He's congressman here on the program. The one thing, and I saw that you were on with Amy Beth and Allison talking about it, but these elections the last couple of weeks, New York State, Colorado, like there's a wave here inside the Democratic Party towards socialism. And I don't know how far that goes and how much that's going to impact things, but they got some real home fires to put out.
Well, I don't think I've ever said I'd correct you, but I will correct you here. These aren't socialists. They're communists. I mean, the Democratic Party went socialist a long time ago, but it's not far enough left for these people. They're flat out Marxist communist. And Jeff, if you'll notice, what they've done is they've shipped people in. The woman who beat Dina DeGette in Colorado is not even from Colorado. She moved there from New York. And a lot of the funding is coming from the grassroots support. It's coming from a guy in Shanghai, China. He's truly a bad guy. He's put in hundreds of millions of dollars in this, and they're targeting these urban enclaves where they can organize people and turn them out. I don't think, you know, they would be successful, for instance, in Alabama, because we don't have those concentrations of population in urban areas like they do in Denver and Chicago and New York. You know, you name the city. You may see this play out in the mayor's race in Los Angeles, where this lady came out of nowhere to challenge Karen Bass, who's a communist herself. She was a big supporter of Maduro and Castro. But they've got an enormous problem. And I can tell you in the midterm elections, I don't know that there's ever been an election with a sharper contrast than what you're going to see here.
Well, I feel like with that contrast, that's a contrast you guys want. Like you want to show you got this. This is the fork in the road, and you got to pick a way that, you know, this may work in, like you say, concentrated urban areas. I just don't think it wins in the rest of the country.
It doesn't. And here's a couple of things. I pointed this out to the speaker, to Mike Johnson, and I told him, I said, first of all, and this was before the Colorado race, I said, well, those two wins in New York, that's going to give the squad enough members to take over the leadership of the Democrats in the House. You add this, the one in Colorado, and I promise you, Jeff, AOC, Tlaib, Omar, that crowd are going to be the ones who decide who the leadership team is among House Democrats. But the other thing, and I really think this is important, there are millions of people in this country who came here from Russia and from East Germany and Venezuela and Cuba and places. They came here to escape the very things that these people are campaigning on. And I really think we have an opportunity to broaden the Republican base, because this is a something that they've experienced, or their parents or grandparents experienced, that they do not want in this country.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, I'm still a little pessimistic, but, you know, some of these prognosticators like the Cook Political Report and Larry Sabato, they got Republicans holding on by a seat or two in the majority. Who knows what happens on election night? But let's just say that Democrats get control. Well, even if they don't, that leadership fight, the way Hakeem Jeffries has positioned himself behind some of these incumbents that got beat, I mean, they're going to have, I don't know, it'll look a little bit like what y'all had to go through with Kevin McCarthy, maybe getting him the gavel, just vote after vote after vote after vote. But they seem like a rudderless ship right now, with a bunch of people wanting their ship to go in a bunch of different directions.
Think about this, that AOC, Bernie Sanders, that crowd all came out and campaigned for these people. AOC was campaigning against Dina DeGette, and Dina DeGette and AOC are both on the Energy and Commerce Committee that I serve on. And you think about the hostility that's going to be there, the tension that's going to be there. And Jeffries was supporting the incumbents, which is what he's supposed to do as minority leader. I don't know that he'll even make the ballot when they start trying to pick a minority leader in the next Congress.
It's undergoing some changes, and it'll have an impact on the country. But the thing that I think is like really important here is Republicans got to take the ball and move with it. And they really got to point this out. Like, you know, this is something that's been, you know, flirted with in the past during the 20th century. Americans have rejected it. And going into 2028, this is your choice here. Do you want to go in this, like, you know, at best Western European type socialism? Or do you like capitalism? Do you like, you know, the lifestyle you have now?
Well, we've got a lot going for us. And I shared this with some folks a while back, and I've talked a little bit about it on the radio, but we were debating three permitting reform bills, and I was managing the debate on the floor of the House. And the Democrat who was handling the Democratic side was Frank Pallone from New Jersey. He's the top guy on the Energy and Commerce Committee. So we brought up the first bill and made my little spiel for why we should pass it. They go to Pallone, and he goes off on Republicans about health care. Absolutely nothing to do with the permitting bills that we were discussing, debating. So when they came back to me, normally you would go ahead and yield to the bill's sponsor or whatever. I just said, Mr. Speaker, I'm amazed that my colleague would bring up health care when in the one big beautiful bill, we put in $50 billion to transform rural health care. I said, Mr. Speaker, there are literally places in Alabama that are maternity care deserts. I just recently talked to a young woman in Wisconsin who's 8 months pregnant, and she's driving an hour and a half to see her OBGYN. And I said, so we put that in to transform rural health care, and every Democrat colleague voted against it. And then I said, as a matter of fact, the gentleman from New Jersey, his state got $187 million, and he voted against it. Jeff, it shut him down. They can't respond to that. They can't respond to the fact that 51.4 million senior citizens didn't have to pay any income tax on their Social Security income. A lot of them, that's the only income they have. They can't respond to the fact that there's single moms out there earning their living, making from tips. They didn't have to pay any income tax on their tips. They're blue collar workers that on the first $12,500 of overtime, and you rarely make that much in overtime, they didn't have to pay any income tax on that. So we've done a ton to help families, and they can't respond to it. And I think that's got to be part of our messaging.
Last question we'll get you out of here on this America 250, the 250th celebration of this country. Any thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I grew up dirt poor. My dad had about an eighth grade education. He was a logger. Nobody on either side of the family, immediate family, had ever gone to college. And, you know, I was able to go to college and was able to get a job in engineering, worked for a couple of international engineering companies, and wound up getting elected to Congress. And there's just not another country in the world like ours. We've got our problems, we got issues, but this is still truly a land of opportunity. And I just think people need to stop, reflect on what this country's given them, what they've given their parents and grandparents, and the difference that we've made in the world. And Saturday should truly be a day of celebration, but it also needs to be a day of a new commitment going forward. I take people on that time towards the Capitol, and one of the things I emphasize is the preamble of the Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. That's not just an observation, that's an obligation that falls on every generation, and I just hope your listeners are part of the generation that's going to be part of this great turning point in our history that will really make a bright future for future generations.
Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on this morning, and let's talk again soon.
We will, probably about the Braves.
Yeah, well, that's always my go-to. Congressman Gary Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
And a few old cheating songs. Here's open everybody out in radio land. Find the love just as true as mine. Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling. And close your pretty bright.